Sleep is something that's so fundamental to our health and well-being. And I think we can see it after a day, a night of awful sleep. You know how you feel. You just don't feel right. You may feel more fatigued. You may find out you're more irritable. You may notice that you are a little foggy in your thinking. So the ability to make critical decisions, which you need, especially if you're in training or something of that sort, all that is impaired. And really, even the ACGME rules around 80-hour weeks came from that, came from instances where very, very catastrophic decisions were made that impacted lives, leading to mortality, right? So that is the power of sleep deprivation and exhaustion. So it is I usually will say it's actually a life or death situation, not to put pressure on you to try to force yourself to sleep, but really to help you see it as, this is something that I'm blessed to be able to do because sleep is a gift, but I really have to be responsible enough to say, I have so much to do, number one, in terms of achieving my goals, and I have patients that I'm responsible for, or decisions that I'm going to make that is going to affect other people, that I can't afford not to prioritize sleep.
Are you a health professional wanting to explore all the options life has to offer? Then you've come to the right place. The Balanced Medics Handover podcast is all about living outside the box of what we've been told. I'm Isabella, your host, a junior doctor from Australia and trained coach. I'll be interviewing health professionals from all walks of life, artists, authors, non-clinical specialists, and more. These stories show that our choices are endless. Let's take the journey together. This is The Handover. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Balanced Medics Handover podcast. This episode, we have Dr. Funke Afolabi-Brown, a sleep medicine physician, to speak all about how she found her niche in medicine and created her own business. She is passionate about helping people discover sleep as their superpower, and she is a clinician, speaker, consultant, and coach. She likes to help busy professionals and their children prioritize sleep to thrive, achieve optimal health, and live to their fullest potential. So without further ado, let's hand over to Funke. Hey Funke, how are you?
So much for having me, Bella. I'm really excited to be here. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm really good as well. I'm really happy for you to be here. And before we get started, can you tell everyone where you're calling in from?
I'm calling from my home in Ambler, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so it's so fun to have people from all over the world come on to share what they're doing. So yeah. I'm glad we found a time on our opposite time zones.
I know, it's really incredible. I was just saying, wait, why is she recording podcasts when I'm sleeping? Oh, because she's in Sydney, Australia.
That's right. I'm in our own little world down here, yeah. Compared to everyone up there. So I like to start every episode in the same way. Can you share your story in your own words?
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Nigeria I'm the only physician in my family. And so really felt a lot of pressure to succeed, but it was all internal. Like, it was pressure I put on myself. And so that showed up in just really living exhausted from day to day. And, you know, through medical school, like most, burning the candle on both ends, trying to prove myself that I was worthy of becoming a doctor. And then, you know, really burning out very early, you know, and fast forward, moving into residency with the same poor sleep, trying to make everybody else happy and trying to prove myself as a superwoman. And then the kids came and they didn't care that I had this kind of history and choose to be gentle or sleep through the night. So I was hopping from shift to shift, right? So I do calls during residency, go home and start mommy calls. And so really, I was just barely surviving on very little sleep, and I was exhausted all the time. And for me, I had both sleep deprivation and insomnia. So with sleep deprivation, you don't have the sleep opportunity because of either environmental or behavioral factors. But with insomnia, there's the opportunity, but there's not the ability to actually sleep well because I was constantly anxious, my mind racing. I had some personal loss as well. And so I really hit a wall and I just really had to come to the terms with the fact that this was not a sustainable lifestyle for me, for my kids, for my family. It wasn't healthy. And that was when I made a change. And that change was a decision to start to really prioritize self-care using sleep as my focal point. And then everything changed. And I just really then started to get very curious about the sleep thing, especially since every condition that I was seeing in my clinic, in my practice, ended up impacting sleep one way or the other. Like nobody had asthma and wasn't waking up coughing, or had reflux and wasn't back arching and crying all night, or pain or anything of that sort. And then what I also found that was interesting, because my primary training was in pediatrics, was that the parents, especially the moms, were just as exhausted, even more exhausted than the kids they were bringing to clinic. And so while I would come up with these beautifully crafted plans for them to take home and implement to help their kids sleep, it wasn't happening because they just could barely, you know, they could barely keep it together. And so that really got me even more interested in building a program where I could help not just the child, but really focus on what works for mom now who has, you know, maybe has to work two shifts every day and still get home and implement some kind of routine or help her child sleep. And so that's really how Restful Sleep MD came about. And I started off with, you know, a lot more of my speaking and consulting. Initially, I was still employed in my academic position. So I was doing more of the coaching than clinical practice because there was a conflict there. And so really my coaching was really around coaching moms if they had sleep issues or if their child had sleep issues. And then after I left my employed practice, I started my own practice because I felt like I needed to close the loop, because even when I'm done with the coaching and I realize, oh, well, okay, I think your child or you have sleep apnea, we got to do a sleep study. And so I was having to find places where they could then see someone who could prescribe a sleep study or whatever. So being able to have this cohesive program where I'm going in both with my clinical expertise, but also I'm stepping in to help families navigate and get to their goals and hold them, you know, hold their goals achievable for them. And so really that's been my story. It's been a learning curve, because nobody told me I would be an entrepreneur when I showed up. I always initially saw myself as, you know, seeing patients in clinic and, you know, building my career as an academic, as an academician. But it changed because I really realized that I could make an impact that needed to exceed the four walls of my clinic space. But I also still wanted that clinic space. So I created a life where I could do both. And it's been very fulfilling.
Oh, that's such a great story. And it's such a personal one. And your story just reminds me, and I think it might remind the listeners, just the power of sleep. Mm-hmm. And I know that night shifts, shift work, stress from work can really impede on sleep and have ripple effects. Mm-hmm. Do you mind just touching a bit more on that for those listening, and you know, the power of sleep and how we can prioritize that as a resident, as an intern?
No, that was a time that was really hard for me because I was also pregnant during residency. So
wow.
So I think the important thing is starting with the mindset, really understanding that sleep is not just you know, something that you know, we could just get by without. Sleep is something that's so fundamental to our health and well-being. And I think we can see it after a day, a night of awful sleep. You know how you feel. You just don't feel right. You may feel more fatigued. You may find out you're more irritable. You may notice that you are a little foggy in your thinking. So the ability to make critical decisions, which you need, especially if you're in training or something of that sort, All that is impaired. And really, even the ACGME rules around 80-hour weeks came from that, came from, instances where very, very catastrophic decisions were made that impacted lives leading to mortality, right? So that is the power of sleep deprivation and exhaustion. So it is a, I usually will say it's actually a life or death situation, not to put pressure on you to try to force yourself to sleep, but really to help you see it as this is something that I, one, of course, I'm blessed to be able to do because sleep is a gift, but I really have to be responsible enough to say, I have so much to do, number one, in terms of achieving my goals. And I have patients that I'm responsible for or decisions that I'm going to make that is going to affect other people that I can't afford not to prioritize sleep. So, and then, depending on what else is your goal, right? You want to live healthier. You want to lose weight. You want to be more fit. You want to heal. You don't want to struggle with, insulin resistance and be on multiple meds. You want your blood pressure to go down. You want to stop feeling sick all the time and, catching colds all the time. You want to be more productive. You want to make more money. All of that is related to sleep. So again, I think that power of understanding how much it impacts every area of our lives is just the first place to start. And then comes, what do I do? I think the first thing is, one is boundaries, setting boundaries around your sleep. And I usually will put the analogy of that person that is, has a multidisciplinary appointment. You're not just not going to not show up, when you know you're supposed to see your hematologist and your nephrologist and your cardiologist and your, they're like, okay, we're going to make this appointment very simple for you. We're all going to show up. You come for that appointment. And so you're not just going to like cancel on them. So you shouldn't just cancel on sleep. So you should set boundaries around your sleep. Like, okay, I have an appointment and this appointment lasts 8 hours every single night and I'm not going to miss it. So just fix it like that. And when you set those boundaries, everything else falls in place because number one, it's going to make you become really aware of, oh, wow, okay, that means I have about 16 hours during the day to get stuff done. So how can I be more efficient? How can I say no better? How can I, delegate more? How can I leverage help around and ask for help? So it really, that becomes then, the foundation around which you then build all those things. How do I make sure that I'm not, spending the entire night finishing my charts, my notes, because it's stealing out of my time? How do I advocate for myself to say, can I get a scribe? Can I use AI? What resources can be made available for me to make sure that it's not my sleep that ends up suffering or my family time, right? Or my time to take care of myself. So I think those are the big things, honestly. And when you set that in place, then everything else, tips, tricks, all those things can then follow. What does it look like to be consistent with your sleep time and wake time? It all boils down to making that decision to prioritize sleep, right? What does it mean to make sure I protect my bedroom, to make sure that my room is a sacred space for sleep where I'm not bringing, all the devices and the TV and the worries and the, and other people's drama into bed with me? How do I make sure the bedroom environment is conducive for sleep, making sure it's dark, making sure it's cool, making sure that I don't have noise interruptions, right? How do I make sure that, when it becomes a priority, then, you become less dependent on caffeine, unless it's just something you enjoy, where you're not having to prop yourself awake with caffeine, which then is disrupting your sleep. Or, put yourself to sleep with alcohol, knowing that it fragments your sleep. So then all those things then come into place. Or if you're a parent, how do I teach my child to sleep independently? Because when I do that, then I get the sleep I need. So it all pays you at the end of the day. And so I think that those are really some of the strategies. And this applies to everything, whether you're a shift worker, whether you work regular, hours, Because if you're a shift worker and you're like, okay, you know what, I'm a shift worker, I still get excellent sleep and I'm fine, well, that's all well and good. But if you see that it's really starting to become an issue where you now have shift work sleep disorder, or you're having just difficulties with sleep, then you're going to have to try to advocate to say, okay, how can we make this work so that my health is not jeopardized?
Yeah. Thank you for touching on that. And sleep's such a foundation for all of us. And I love your image of it's an appointment that you need to show up to, because I think sometimes people can feel like rest is not productive, that rest is, you know, you have other things better to do. But this whole point just shows how rest is really needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I would just plug in, like, there are times, especially for maybe that mom who is just super burnt out and exhausted, you might, sleep is a form of rest. And so rest sometimes may just mean doing nothing and just, you know, hanging out back and sipping a cup of coffee, or, you know, just relaxing in a hammock, or taking a nap, or going for a walk without necessarily having to have your mind in that zone of productivity. So, you know, embrace all the different forms of rest, including sleep.
Yes, yes, 100%. There's lots of forms of rest. Sleep is one of them that you need 8 hours every day for. So thank you for that reminder. Now, you spoke about how you're the only physician in your family, that you had some external pressure on yourself. Why did you go into medicine, and what was your vision going into it?
Well, I was a people pleaser. My dad suggested to do medicine. I said, okay. Because I wanted him to be.
Be a good daughter.
Honestly, well, that, and also, you know, I love people. I love helping people. And I think one of the early memories I had as a kid was I was very extremely sickly, very fragile child. I was always going to our doctor, our family doctors, and just how he was, you know, very old school. So family, my parents would call him. Sometimes he would come to our house and treat me. Sometimes I would go to his clinic, and just the relationship my parents had with him, the trust they had, even my, you know, myself as well, was just something that I admired. And the fact that he knew everything, and he would say something, my parents would be distressed, and he would say something and they would just feel better. Not because I was better in the sense of, oh, you know, all of a sudden I was well, but he just had a way that he connected with them where they just, I could just see that and experience that. And, you know, and if there was something that was going on with me, you know, of course they would call him right away. He was very accessible. So I really was inspired by that. And I thought, wow, this is something I would love to be able to do, to be able to solve people's problems in this capacity where we can have encounters and I'm leaving them better. I'm leaving them more, you know, at rest. Of course, decades later, I realized there are other things I could have done that could have achieved that goal. But at that point, I had a role model I could see. And then I thought my dad would be pretty impressed that one of his kids went into medicine.
And sleep medicine, what drew you to that? How did you find this specialty?
You know, so I was already practicing it, right, in my general pediatrics practice. I also did a fellowship in pulmonary medicine. And I think I went in initially first because of my own experience, and also because I wanted to understand the science more. So that was it. It was a combination of me really wanting to understand the science, me really seeing that the sleep really was involved with every single thing that I was doing. And also just because as someone who had struggled with sleep issues, I really wanted this to be part of my practice, a very, very large part of my practice.
Yeah. And I'm curious, because you said when you went into medicine, there was an element of people pleasing. Mm-hmm. And then you had moments of, you know, setting boundaries with your sleep and claiming your sleep back. Where are you at now with the people pleasing and having boundaries? How has that transition been?
Oh, it's been, I think that really has been, was been the biggest game changer for me. And that's been a while now. Of course, there's still the tendency sometimes to say yes to things that I don't necessarily want. And so it's a constant awareness that I have to have, because that's a part of me that's, I mean, I would say it's an area of vulnerability. So I'm constantly aware of it, and I'm constantly checking with myself, you know, whether it's friends or family or patients or clients or kids, right? So all of that plays a role. So when I'm saying yes to something, the next thing I'm saying is what needs to go, right? Mm-hmm. When I'm saying yes to another obligation, then I'm thinking, okay, where do I fit this? Is there time on my schedule, on my calendar? And am I doing this because I really want to do it, or because I'm scared of what the person will say if I said no? And there have been times when I have said yes, and I've disciplined myself and said, I'm sorry I did say yes. I am now saying no. And it's been extremely uncomfortable. But then it's helped me realize, okay, next time before you say yes, save yourself having to go back to say, oh, sorry, I'm saying no, right? And so I'm doing that, you know, and, you know, even just things like the likelihood that you're going to be able to access me after 9:30 p.m. It's close to zero. And it took training people to know that. Right.
Yeah.
Because I said, OK, I'm going to have to, there's going to have to be a time when it ends. And so, of course, I have a VIP list. So if there are people like my close family that needs to reach me, they will. But they know also, like, okay, we're going to wait till tomorrow because this girl's not going to respond, right? So it may be boundaries like that. And so, you know, I'm a morning person. So I'm not going to say yes to just go out hanging out till 10:30 p.m. because I know it's going to be horrible for me. I'm going to still wake up at 5 a.m. or 5:30. Meaning that I'm short on sleep. So it really literally becomes this ripple effect in every area of my life. And then it helps me also plan my day well. So what's the priority? What do I need to absolutely get done today? Because I know that by around now, I'm done. I'm not communicating in any. I always tell people, like, if you have a big, like, life altering question you want to ask me, please don't ask me in the evening. Ask me in the morning when I'm just like, my mental capacity is all there, right? So again, it helped me with, you know, bedtime battles with the kids. That's not an issue because they know, okay, in this house, this is how we do it, right? And it helps me also with empowering, you know, the families that I work with to say, okay, this is where we're struggling. I know you love those cuddles, but now you're telling me your back hurts because your child has been kicking you all night, and now you can't sleep, you're tired, and you're yelling at them. So let's regroup and find what works. So it's definitely been a game changer for me all around.
Yeah, and that's so key, having those boundaries of where you work best as well. Like, you know, you're a morning person. Some people maybe are more night owls, but knowing where you work best, setting the boundaries, having your VIP list, I like that image. Like, yeah, these are the VIPs. Okay, maybe you can access me if it's important. But, you know, with social media and texting, people can access you 24/7. So it can be very hard sometimes to set up that boundary of, actually, I don't want to reply to this text from work or from whoever at 11 p.m. at night because I should be switched off. So that's really great.
Yeah. And you can set a do not disturb so you don't even feel the guilt of ignoring the call.
Yeah.
Although you should feel comfortable just ignoring the call. But while you're working your way there, you know, you could set the phone on airplane mode or do not disturb. Like, if, you know, a few times if I'm on call, then I would put do not disturb. And you can also include, I could then say, okay, if there's a sleep, that's typically not a sleep emergency, but if there is one and the sleep lab needs to reach me, then at least they can get to me. So even if you're on call, there's still ways around it where you're not just opening yourself to the entire world when you're supposed to be sleeping.
Yeah, there are tools to help. There are tools to help while you're on your way to filtering who can and can't reach you. So that was a game changer for you, getting the boundaries, releasing some of the people pleasing. Can you share just like what you feel is the biggest change you've noticed in your life since you've done that? Like, what do you think is the biggest number one thing you've noticed?
I would say a couple of things. One is, you know, I feel more at peace. I feel more aligned. And then, you know, I feel like I'm practicing what I preach, because I talk a lot about this. So I'm a living example of how it can work. And it's also helped my productivity, because I'm not constantly interrupted. It's helped with my focus. So I know that this is how it needs to go, because at a certain time, it's done. I don't just have 24 hours. I don't have the day just, you know, ebbing into my night, right? So I think that's really been something that's been huge. And a lot more peace, you know. With people pleasing, you think you're doing the right thing, but you're just so angry with yourself, because you're just like, why did you say yes again, right? So I feel more confident. I feel more at peace, again, along the lines of, okay, I'm doing what I feel like, A, is either adding value to me or adding value to the people that I serve, and it's aligned with what I think is important, rather than I'm just doing stuff for people.
Yeah, and I think not only angry with yourself or ourselves, but you can get resentful of those around you as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you had some transitions in your career. So you went from academia, you're now doing speaking, coaching, and you have your own practice. Is it Restful MD? Is that right?
Yeah, Restful Sleep MD.
Restful Sleep MD. So can you share more about these transitions and how you manage them?
Yeah, so like I had said, when I started my business, I was still full-time employed. And so it was more of like a mini side gig. And it was really more around the speaking. So I was getting opportunities to speak at conferences. I was also, you know, creating content on the side, so I could help organizations, you know, create sleep content or things like that for their own clients. And then I started cutting back because it started taking off and I was really enjoying this. I felt like it was a beautifully creative outlet for me. And then I started the coaching, because I realized that after I was done speaking, and people are like, so how can we work with you? I didn't really have that. So I started coaching. And so this became more of what I would tell people about. Like, I have this service. I have this opportunity. You can learn more. Because with the speaking, it leaves people empowered to say, yes, I need to make change. But sometimes people need that extra help implementing those changes. And so that's really where the coaching piece was there. And then, again, as that grew bigger and I started to feel that restlessness, that necessity to shift, I left my employed position and so was able to then start my practice. So that when I realized that people were working with me, for instance, and they would say, oh, yes, finally, we're all getting to sleep. My child is sleeping, but it sounds like he's snoring at night. What can I do about it? And I knew that was my expertise. That's what I trained to do, to treat sleep disorders, insomnia, and things like that, in addition to the coaching. So I wanted to help close that loop. And so that prompted me to start the Restful Sleep Place is under Restful Sleep MD. So the Restful Sleep Place is a sleep service where we do therapeutics and diagnostics for children and young adults with sleep disorders. So this way, you know, if there are medical or behavioral or things of that nature that is impacting their sleep, I'm able to help with that.
Yeah, it sounds very organic, all the changes and transitions that you've had. What were the barriers or any fears you had, you know, going into opening your own private practice, and how did you overcome those?
Yeah, it was a lot of fear, uncertainty, self-doubt. This is, again, growth that felt like a stretch. So I think it was a lot of mind. Some of it was mind drama. Like, will it work? What if nobody comes? People said they want to work with me. Are they going to show up? Right. So that was there. And then just some of the technical pieces, right? I don't know, credentialing, getting, updating my website, getting an EMR, malpractice, you know, marketing. Changing, sort of putting a different spin to my message. Those were all, and they still continue to be challenges. Building out, you know, needing a team to just help with, again, offsetting some of the work so that I could focus on my zone of genius. So I think those are some of the challenges I've had. And, you know, with regards to the mind drama, I think just really embracing that, the fact that, you know, self-doubt will always come and fear will always come, but I don't have to, you know, I don't have to cave into that. I could just bring it along the journey with me. So one of the things my coach, I think I learned from her, said, you know what, if self-doubt shows up, just put her in the back seat and say, okay, you sit right there, buckle up, let's go, right? So it's not a thing that dominates my mind and holds me bound, because the question I ask myself is, okay, even if I'm nervous about doing this, there are two alternatives. I either do it or I don't. So what would be the benefit of me not doing it? Then I 100% did not succeed. I didn't even give myself a chance to succeed. What are the benefits of stepping out and doing it in spite of the fear? Even if I'm scared that it's not going to work, well, I've given myself a good shot at watching it succeed. And I preferred that option to not doing it. And I've used that to decide pretty much, even when I was going to leave my academic position, what is the benefit of staying back where I am? I will still be successful because I'm driven. But will I be satisfied? Will I be happy? I would always wonder, what if Funke stepped out and did this, right? So that's what's pushed me forward. And then sometimes I'll think, worst case scenario, it doesn't work. Okay, well, I think I'm a physician. I'm a sleep physician. I have my expertise. Worst case scenario, I'll go back. But what's the likelihood that that's going to happen? Close to zero. So that's really been it. And then, you know, leveraging help in terms of all the technical pieces, learning, asking for help, hiring people to do it for me. Because just like if you hire me as a coach, that's my expertise. There's no point you struggling and suffering when there's someone who does this as part of their practice. And so the same way, if I need somebody to help with SEO management or, you know, building or optimizing my website, like, that's what they do. I don't need to struggle through all that when somebody out there is an expert in that.
Yeah, that's such great tips. So the mind drama, I think the mind drama, everyone experiences that. And you're so right. I think that a lot of the fear is just saying stop. I think Elizabeth Gilbert in her Big Magic book wrote about that. That's usually the same outcome. If you listen to it, you don't really do anything. So what's the other alternative? You know, not letting it be in control. And then getting help, getting the help you need, the experts that you need, that's so key. Now, what would you say to your medical student self if you could go back in time and speak to them?
I would have said chill.
Chill.
Yes, she was so hyped up. And I would also have given myself the advice that one of my attendings had given me, I was so, I was really plagued by self-doubt. A lot of self-doubt. I just never felt like I was good enough. And he told me one day, and he said, "You're such a gift. I see so much potential in you." And I was like, you could stare at me and I would start crying. I was that shy. He's like, "You need to be more assertive. Just put yourself out there. Be confident in who you are and what you are." And I couldn't see what he saw then, right? But I just decided to go with it. That didn't settle in until, of course, much later. But I would say I would have told my younger self that too. So I thank him for telling me that.
Yeah. Having that belief from someone else.
Yeah. And also, like what people say, right? In your 20s, you think everyone is thinking and focusing on you. And like, no, it's not that big. There are too many problems in the world. Nobody's necessarily thinking about you. You just do you, do what feels true to you, and keep going.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I love hearing what people would like to say to their younger self. So chill. Yeah. No one's really thinking about you. Keep going.
Yeah.
That's great. Now I ask this of everyone that comes on. What is balance to you?
Balance really is feeling, I would say, as good on the inside as you look on the outside. And I'm saying that in the perspective of a high achieving woman who out there looks like extremely successful, hitting all the goals, doing all the things. But if on the inside I'm in constant turmoil, uncomfortable, unhappy, unwell, that's not balance. Balance is being able to get into bed at night and exhale. I did it. I helped lives. And it feels good. It wasn't at the expense of my family. It wasn't at the expense of my peace. It wasn't at the expense of my sleep.
Yeah.
That's balance.
That's beautiful. I really feel that when you said looking at feeling as good on the inside as you look on the outside, because I know a lot of people listening are high achieving women who probably look like they have it all together on the outside. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people seem like that in medicine. Yeah. And it's more common than everyone might think that on the inside you don't feel as put together.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that is true.
Yeah, so getting that, that's beautiful. Is there anything else you'd like to add that you think would benefit the listeners?
I would say, you know, it starts with you, right? It's a cliche. We've heard it again and again. Like, there's no end to this. This ladder, whatever this ladder is, we're all trying to climb. And so just take things in perspective. Take care of you, like invest in yourself. It sounds cliche again, you know, your oxygen mask first, but take care of you. And I always say this, it sounds as cheesy as whatever, but that is the fact that you, when you prioritize sleep, you radiate your inner brilliance. And what do I mean by that? You have goals, you have achievements, hopefully you have dreams, you have a future, you have a hope. For you, for your children, you want to leave a legacy. A burnt out version of you is not going to achieve, is not going to enjoy that. You might get there. You might get there, but you're going to get there. You can choose whether you want to get there just like, ugh, this is it. Finally, I did it versus, oh my goodness, look what we all did. And so a well-rested version of you is going to enjoy that, you know, that end point better. So take care of you. Make sure sleep is a priority. You know, of course, diet and exercise too, you know, whatever, but sleep is more important as far as I'm concerned. But do it. Take care of you, because your dreams, your goals, your people are waiting for you to manifest. But if you're too tired, you're not going to get there. Well, maybe you'll get there, but it's not going to be as good.
Yeah. Yeah. That, to really enjoy it, enjoy every moment, enjoy that climbing the ladder.
Yeah.
And you don't want to get there feeling a shell of yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And take pauses down. Take pauses on the way. Like, pause. Don't. Everybody's ladder is different. Everybody's trajectory is different. Like, you may see, again, most people you see on the outside look like they have it together, but there's several things that are suffering. So if you see them and you want to be like them, you got to also consider, what did they have to sacrifice to get to where they are? So let people inspire you, but also know that your race, your journey is really unique to you.
Yeah. Yeah. That switch from being inspired by someone to comparing your journeys. Yes, that's huge. Now, how can people reach out to you? How can people find you?
So my website is a good place to start. It's at restfulsleepmd.com. I have tons of resources there. I have a blog. I have, access to my coaching, information about my coaching. If you're someone who, mom or high achieving woman, a physician who is just trying to achieve their goals, but you are just tired of being tired, then we should have a conversation. If you live in California, Pennsylvania, or New Jersey, that's where I'm licensed to see patients, and you have a child or young adult with sleep struggles, then we could have a clinical consultation. And then I'm also on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. On Instagram, I'm at Restful Sleep MD, and on Facebook, I'm at Funke Afolabi Brown. I'm also on Restful Sleep MD there too, as well as LinkedIn. There are quite a number of ways by which we can connect.
Yeah, that's great. And just a question with coaching, are you able to coach people from any state and country? Is that open?
Yes, yes. I mean, with country, we kind of have to, usually we need to figure out a way to go about it, but in terms of just like payment and how that looks like. But yeah, I am. That's the beauty of coaching, which is what I've enjoyed as a physician.
Yeah, that's so great. I've loved having you on. It's been fun to laugh with you and to hear your story. And sleep is so key. So I hope everyone listening takes a little thing away to make that boundary and get the 8 hours today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. You've been listening to the Balance Medics Handover Podcast. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, I'd love for you to take a minute to rate and review this podcast and click the follow button. For more resources, check out the Balance Medics website. The link to this will be in the show notes below. See you next episode.